Well, we are in the midst of a very interesting time in relation to the nation of Israel and the church at large. I think I'll just hold on to this. Might be a easier thing to do. The nation of Israel and the church at large and what's taking place around us. Well, I want to talk about some current events. And yet I want to make sure that we are comfortable in understanding what we're talking about, because as we look at this, it's easy to get your mind off track and to begin to think of some other things that are not a part of what we're looking at. Wow, that was clear as a work shirt, wasn't it? Holy cow. Karen, what are you writing down? I'd love to know what I just said. I actually knew where I was on that, but as I was talking, I was going, I don't think anybody's following this. It's going to get better. I've done this before. You already know me, so you know this is what happens anyway from time to time. What we're looking at in particular are events that are taking place in conjunction with the feasts of Israel. And we've not talked a lot about that. We have talked about it. I've made reference to it, the various feasts that they have throughout the year that began all the way back at the very beginning when the nation of Israel was established. And God said, these are the feasts that I want you to have. And now don't think of feast just as sitting down and having food. A feast was a time of remembering. And the most important one of those was the Feast of Passover, where they would celebrate that every year, and it would be a remembrance to them of when God came and released them from Egypt because of the Passover angel that came. You with me on that? Okay. So the feasts are taking place. But within that, there are physical signs that are beginning to occur that are in conjunction with those feasts that have meaning for the church today. That's the overall of what we're going to be looking at. How many of you are familiar with the term the blood moons? How many of you are familiar with that? A number of you are. The blood moons is very simply, it is an eclipse of the moon, whereas the light of the sun bends around the earth and it gives the moon a reddish glow. It's called a blood moon. Well, there are several times in the scripture where it talks about the blood moons, and in particular in the book of Joel, where it talks about that the sun will be darkened and the moon will be as blood. Now, that doesn't mean that the moon's going to turn into literal plasma and red and white blood cells and blood, but there's going to be the appearance of that. And what I want to look at this morning is this, is that we have a clear understanding that the things of God were created in perfection. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. We know that. However, Christians tend to shy away from this many times, because Satan has taken the perfected things of God and he's twisted and perverted them and turned them into things like astrology and fortune telling and divination and things of this. Satan didn't create those things. I've told you this so many times. Satan is not a creative being. He's created. He was created by God in the person of who? Who was he initially? Who was he initially? Before he became Satan, who was he? Lucifer. All right, Lucifer, he's one of the archangels of heaven. He was the worship leader, according to the Old Testament. But what did he do? He said, I want to be like God. I want your job. You ever know that that's a dangerous thing to do at work? You should never tell the boss, I want your job. It makes him uncomfortable. Well, that was lethal for Satan, because he said, I want to be like the Most High. And God had created him in such splendor that a third of the angels of heaven followed him. They left paradise and followed Satan. And they were the ones that were cast out and became the demons that work for Satan. Now, here's the good news about this before I talk any more about that. He's lost the war. You understand that? He has lost the war. The war was over the moment that Jesus raised from the dead. He was done. Because God conquered death, conquered Satan, conquered hell by Jesus being raised from the dead in all of his glory and authority. But the battles still have to be fought. And that's what we deal with every single day. And so what I want to look at this morning as a way of introduction for this, and this is going to take several weeks for us to do this, because the last of the blood moons of this tetrad, and I will explain that term to you later, so don't write that down, the tetra from four, the fourth of those blood moons is going to be occurring at the end of September. And that's why I want to be talking about this, because I want you to be aware of the things that are going on. You're going to begin to see some of these things in the news if you haven't already. How many of you have seen John Hagee's book about the blood moons? Several of you probably have. Again, all of these things that are signs of the times of what it is that's going on and the imminent return of Jesus. That's what it all points to his return. But I want us today to understand the difference between astronomy and astrology. Two very different things. Next week, I want to talk about why should we care about Israel? Why is that important? Because all of these things center around the nation of Israel. So why is that important to us? We're the United States. Israel, it's about the size of New Jersey. That's how big Israel is. And yet it has been the center of attention for millennium. Nations, cultures that are devoted to destroying that nation. Why? Why? And why is it so important to us? We'll look at that next week. And then following that, we're going to look at these blood moons. And we're going to talk about why they're important and what the significance of those is. So are you with me? Did I do better? Are we covered on that? All right, I did better. All right. Let me give you the heart of the matter. And then I want you to turn to Isaiah right now, if you have your Bibles. Which you should. Bring your Bibles to church. Isaiah 40. But here's what I want us to understand. God not only created the heavens, which is the sun, the moon, and the stars, but he used and continues to use them as signs of his promises and the fulfillment of his word. He's done this in the past, he's doing it currently, and he's going to do it in the future. God uses the sun, the moon, and the stars. And see, this is right about the point that people start going, okay, you're going to get weird on us or what? No, not at all. These are the creations of God. These are designed by him. God had them first. Here's what Isaiah 40:26 says. It says, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." All that simply means is that God created everything that we see. All of the heavens and all of the earth, it is by God's hand. Now, the prophet Isaiah in this chapter is confirming what Moses had written back in the first book of Genesis when he gives the account of the creation. And in studying this, we have got to be so careful. Now hear me on this. We have got to be so careful that we stay true to the Word of God. Because when you begin to look at these types of things, it is very easy for people to bring in their own analogies, to bring in what they think is true. We are going to do by the Word of God only. I'm not going to be giving you my personal opinion of something. This is from the Word of God. Listen. He says in Deuteronomy 4:2, "Do not add what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." That's God speaking. Don't put anything in, don't take anything out. And that is something that's taking place in Christian circles today that is a part of the deception that we talked about earlier. We've got to be careful. It's the Word of God is what's most important. Proverbs 30, this is Solomon writes this. He says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar." At some point, anybody that changes what the Word of God says, they'll be proven wrong. And we do not want to be following that. We want to be following what does the Word of God say. And in particular, when you're talking about the end times, when you're talking about Jesus coming again, we've got to be so careful. And this is what John writes. At the very end of the Bible, the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the very last one, here's what John says. He says, "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll." That sounds pretty serious to me. I mean, I don't consider myself a giant intellect, but that's pretty serious to me. And then he says, "If anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll." Let me tell you what we're not going to do over these next several weeks. We are not going to be attempting to determine when Jesus is coming back. We're not going to do that. Why? Because it is not for us to know. Why focus your attention on something that God has clearly said? You don't know this. You're not going to know it. In Matthew and Mark, both times, they report this. It says, but coming that day, or about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Nor the Son. Only God. Only God knows when that time's come. So if you read about any of these events that are taking place, if someone is doing all of this in order to say, this is when Jesus is coming back, that's false teaching. You've got to be careful, all right? Be careful. You say, well, man, wouldn't it be cool, though, to know when Jesus is coming back? Well, I guess, but we're not supposed to. That's not something that we should be putting our minds to. So what we want to do is just see what the signs are and see the things, because what it tells us is the time is coming. That's why the Bible uses the analogy, ladies, you know this a lot better than we do, about birth pangs. When you are pregnant with your child, you do not know the moment, the day, the hour when the child's going to come. But you have the pangs. You have the signs of it, of what's going to be taking place. That's what we're looking at today, are the signs. Now, reading through the Genesis account of the creation, we're given a vivid picture of God's power. And what we take from that is just, again, very simply this. You say, Pastor Dave, it sounds like you're repeating yourself a little bit. Not at all. I just want to make sure that our foundation is strong before we begin to talk about this. Creation is to be used at God's pleasure. He can do anything that he wants to do with what he's created. And since he's created everything, that means that anything that takes place is at God's pleasure. And it is only the incredible ego and pride of man that we look at something and go, well, that can't be because I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Oh, my goodness. Why does it you think God always talks about how much he hates pride? It keeps us from being able to embrace everything that he is because I can't get this great God to fit inside the little tiny brain pan that is my mind. I got bad news for you, folks. We are not the all-in-all that we think we are. We don't know everything. The human mind is not the greatest thing in creation. No, it is a created part of who God is. That's all. So when you see things that don't look quite normal, don't dismiss them. God could very well be doing something that we've never seen before. As a matter of fact, as the book of Revelation continues to pass, as these things happen, there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be hard to explain. But you know what? God does those things. The Bible says to confound the wise. That's why he does them. Confound the wise. Why? So that we look to him. He's our answer. It's not our minds. He's the answer. And so the Hebrew word for sign, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about signs. The Hebrew word for that is the word oath. O-W-T-H. That also translates into the same word as the word signal. Signs or signals. Those are the things that God does. And you know what a signal is. It usually tells you that something is about to happen. If you drive up and you've got a railroad tracks across you and the crossing signal's going, you don't have to stop and think, I wonder what that means. I'm sure I can cross the tracks. It means there's a train coming. It's a warning to you. It's an alert. In the same way, we do things or things happen sometimes on a signal. If any of you are runners, all right, bud, when you start doing your sprints again now, when you get to the starting line, there's a guy standing off to the side and goes and shoots the gun and everybody runs. That's the signal. That's what God's doing. He's giving us signals. He's given us signs in order to prepare us for what he's about to do. But again, so many Christians shy away from these things, and the whole reason for that is because Satan has taken all the beauty of what God is, and because he has power in this world for a time, he's been able to pervert them. And he's been able to twist them. So again, this morning, I want to make sure that we understand, what's the difference between astronomy and astrology? Well, astronomy is this. It is the study of the movement and the position of the stars and the sun and the moon. It's the study of them. Well, astrology is not just the study, it is the worship of those things in order for someone to receive information about their lives. That's what astrology is. I study these things and I take from that the things I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to live my life. It's a guide for me, the stars, the heavens. My friends, in that case, as in every case, we are looking not at the Creator, now we're looking at the created. It's like looking at a piece of pottery that's been made and you say, thank you, pottery, for the water that you're bringing me. That's not where the water comes from. The pottery was created for a purpose. The sun, the moon, the stars were created for a purpose. And the purpose is to bring glory to God. That's the purpose of that. Astrology is the worship of those things. Now, over 20 times in the Old Testament, God warns his people, stay away from those things. Astrology is used for divination or in order to be able to make a determination about their lives. God says, that's not the way you do it. Stay away from divination because divination is born out of occultic and pagan practices. That's where that comes from. And in that, there are serious consequences because, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about the horoscope? What's the big deal about seances or the Ouija board? You realize the Ouija board is a very demonic tool. It's not a game. It calls spirits forth. He is clever, as I said, he's clever. So we market this thing as a child's game and we give it to kids to play with. And the influence of the enemy in their lives begins when they're children. Who is it were you watching, babe? Was that the Ouija board was involved with that? With that Marilyn Manson? Something along that line. Katerina had seen this about Marilyn Manson. Now, you've seen pictures of this guy. Oh, my. Oh, my. Frightening. This guy came from a conservative Christian home and got involved in some dark... That's right. That's what it was. Yeah. He was forced into a situation where he, as a kid, was put in this situation where there was a demonic element to it. And I don't recall all the details, but it absolutely changed his life. He was never the same. And when we try to make light of these things, the whole magic eight ball thing, it's just a toy. No, it's not a toy. It's being used of the enemy to bring those things into our children's lives. We've got to guard and protect against that. You say, well, how big a deal is this? Well, let me tell you this. There's a woman by the name of Susan Miller. I don't know how many of you know that name. She's called the astrologer to the stars. That's what she's called. On the internet, every single month, 6.5 million people read her writings in order to determine how they should live their lives. And that number is increasing. My friends, people are hungry. They need answers. They want answers. We have got to, as the church, be pointing them to the Word of God. This is where the answers are. It isn't by reading tea leaves. It isn't by going to a seance. It isn't by those types of things. It is only through the Word of God. Now, watch now. There are a number of people who claim to have these types of powers that are absolute frauds, absolute fakes. I don't know how many of you read about Houdini very much, the great magician, the guy's sleight of hand and all that kind of thing. He was obsessed with seances because he was determined to contact his mother who had died, obviously faced in the wrong direction. But one of the things that he did at all of these places he would go to is he'd always expose them as being frauds because they were fakes. They had these different things that they would do. That is a part of it, but there's also another part of this that we have got to be aware of. Satan is alive and well. And there are people that have power that is supernatural through demonic influence in their lives. You've got to be careful. That's why we stay away from those things. Do not go to spiritualists. Do not go to palm readers. Don't go to those places where those types of things are taking place. Katerina and I shared with you about being down at that place in Gettysburg and what was taking place down there. And they did seances and just the absolute darkness that was present when we walked through. Yeah, and they thought it was God. Deception. They thought it was of God. It was not of God. We couldn't get out of there fast enough, but boy, we were praying pretty hard as we went. You got to do battle against these things. You need to be aware. So what's wrong with doing those things? What's wrong with being part? Well, here, very quickly, and I got to keep moving here. You're getting me all off track. The first thing is this. We have to know that over and over and over again in the Bible, God condemns the occultic practice of divination and anything associated with it. Constantly. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Romans, Revelation, all of these have passages where God says, this is an abomination in my eyes. Says he finds it detestable. Why? Because it takes the focus off of him and it takes it and puts it in a place that is completely contrary to the Word of God. And how severe is the penalty? Well, let's just look real quick. In 1 Chronicles 10, it tells the story of King Saul, first king of Israel. Now, Saul was a good guy. We tend to think of Saul as being this guy who just really blew it. And at the end, he did. He struggled. He struggled in the beginning because he was always trying to throw a spear through his buddy David. That's not a good relationship. But at the end, he also struggled. But in the middle, Saul was used of God. Well, what happened? Do you remember the story? Samuel died. Samuel was his spiritual advisor, the one that God had put there for him to give him guidance. Samuel died, and Saul went where? He went to a medium. And he said, I need you to bring back the spirit of Samuel so I can talk to him. And what happened? Samuel's spirit came back. You know who was scared more than anybody? And the Bible says screamed? The medium. Freaked her out. Why? Because she was a fake. She didn't know how to do that. She wasn't able, but God allowed that to take place. And there's a lot of debate about what that really was. But here's what happened. In 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. That's a pretty severe penalty. God says, don't mess with these things. Don't let any of it be a part of your life. Secondly, and this is what we've already talked about, every single one of these activities are doorways that the enemy can come into your life. If you're into astrology, if you do the seances, if you're doing fortune tellers, all those kinds of things, you might as well just open up a door and turn on a big flashing light and go, Satan, come on in, because you're opening up the door for him. Deuteronomy 4:19 says this. It says, when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under heaven. He's saying the allegiance, the glory, the honor, all goes to him. We don't worship the created, we worship the creator. I believe you understand and see. And I know I'm talking here. I'm sure virtually to all of you. It's like preaching to the choir. I know that. But if that's the case, then how is it that it's used for good? How is it then that the things we're talking about, the blood moons and all of that, how can that be for good? Well, again, the creation was done in perfection. Genesis 1:14 says this, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And watch this. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. God created those feasts, those celebrations, the time of remembering what God had done, to be in conjunction with the natural earth. Those two things fit together. And so that's why as we're looking now at these things that are beginning to take place in the heavens, we can see that as they correlate with the things of God, it has significance for the nation of Israel. And I don't want to get into this now, but I want to show you in just in a couple of weeks how a pattern of these blood moons that have taken place down through history, there have been extremely significant events that have come to the nation of Israel in conjunction with those times. You say, well, what does that matter now? Because as they continue to occur, what's going to take place next? And these things are lining up with what the Bible says need to happen before Jesus comes again. That's what this looks to. Jesus is coming back soon. And the signs, the signals are pointing to it. The question is, are we watching? Are we aware of what's going on? And God controlled these things throughout all of history. We read this in the Old Testament, a number of times that God used the sun, the moon, the stars in order to demonstrate his will. God controlled the movement of the sun and the moon and commanded it to actually stand still for a whole day. You can read this in Joshua 10. The nation of Israel is battling. Josh is leading this charge against five kingdoms that came against him all at the same time. And he prayed and God stopped the movement of the sun and the moon for a day so that they could fight and win their battle. In 2 Kings 20, we read about another time. King Hezekiah is sick. Isaiah the prophet comes to him and says, Hez, you're going to die soon. He probably said King Hez. He's familiar with him, but he had to show him some honor. He said, Hezekiah, I've been sent of God to tell you that you're going to be dying soon. Hezekiah got very upset. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and began to cry and to weep. And he called out to God and said, God, just I've been really good. Give me a few more years. Give me just a little more time. The Bible says that God spoke to Isaiah and said, go tell the king he gets 15 more years. And Hezekiah said, well, can I get a sign for this just so I know for sure what it is? And God actually gave him a choice. He said, okay. He said, you can either have the sun proceed 10 degrees or 10 steps, or you can have the sun go backwards 10 steps, 10 degrees. Hezekiah said, well, it's easy for the sun to go down. He said, have the sun go backwards and let that happen. The Bible says that's exactly what happened. Said the sun went back 10 degrees and Hezekiah received 15 more years of life. God used the natural things. It doesn't say this, but I'm wondering, because I wonder these types of things, that the amount of time that God took the sun back for Hezekiah equaled the amount of time that the sun had stopped for Joshua, and God just simply reset his solar clock. I don't know. Doesn't say that, but I think that's interesting to consider that, because God is a God of perfection. Did you follow me on that? Joshua's sun stopped. Hezekiah, the sun went back. Did that just reset things? God's a God of order. Of course, the one we all know is that the wise men followed the star to see Jesus' birth, and it pointed the way for them. So God has used these things throughout the course of history. God uses his creation for whatever he needs to. And I want to encourage you that as we continue to talk about this over the next few weeks, do not feel like we're going to be pulled into something that's not godly. No, we're going to be following the scripture in this. I'm not here to try to tell you this is when Jesus is coming back. The Bible says we don't know. But I do want us to be aware of what it is that's happening. I want us to be aware of the things that are taking place in the world, the things that are taking place through the Word of God, to be able to see the wonder of what it is that he does. Don't be afraid. Be excited about God coming. Jesus is going to return. He's going to take his church home with him. In perfection. In perfection. We get to see those loved ones who have already gone on beyond us. We get to be reunited with them. We get to worship God all the time. I've read some books and some people, and they've actually said this much better than I do, but the question that always gets raised is, wait a minute, for the rest of eternity, we're going to do one thing? That's it? That's all we get to do? One thing? Just worship God? And every one of these guys have said, no, listen. You're looking at it from the human perspective. We were created to worship God. When we get to worship him, that will be the ultimate fulfillment of how he's created us to be. It'll be the greatest sense of satisfaction you can ever imagine, because we're doing what it is that we were made to do. There are those people that work in jobs that say, yeah, man, I love to get up in the morning. I love to go to work because I was made to do this. I get that. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. But to a degree even greater than you can even imagine. Why? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to be with him. The time is coming. The signs are beginning to come more and more. And as we look at these blood moons over the next several weeks, again, I want us to guard against deception. We're not going to embrace false teaching. This is not about the date Jesus is going to come back. But it is about we as his church knowing that the time has come. And why do we do that? Because we need to be sharing his love with the people around us. We need to be speaking about God's love to the people that he puts in our lives. I missed an opportunity the other day. This is my confession time. I missed it. I was at the Giant getting a salad, doing the things. I get like $15 salads at the Giant. I just go crazy. I know. I get up around and I go, oh my gosh, I need help to get this up to the counter. But I'm doing the salad and the kid was there filling up the stuff. And I don't think I said anything to him, but he just kind of started into a conversation with me. Now, again, I tell you, we ask for God to do this, and then are we really watching? I wasn't watching like I should have. I was thinking, I just want to get my salad and go home. I'm tired. It's the end of the day. And the guy says to me, he said, people sure do get upset about a lot of stuff, don't they? And he said that, and I went, get my salad back in here. I said, yeah, I said, it's true. He said, and he goes to this whole story about this woman that he encountered at the Giant and all this kind of thing. And when I left, I said something encouraging, like, yeah, well, it was nice of you to do this because I guess she came back and apologized or something. But you know what I could have said? And I just thought this would have been so simple. He said, yeah, people get so upset all the time and everybody's so angry. And I could have said, well, you know what? That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm in the line of work I am in. And of course, he would have said, well, what's that? There I go. I've got the whole thing open to me. I'm ready to go. I blew it. I missed it. So I say that to encourage you. Don't be upset when you miss it. You're going to miss it. But God's going to give you more chances. But my goodness, the time's coming to an end. And God's going to give us these people in our lives to be able to speak life. You don't need to go into a whole dissertation. You don't need to pull out a tract or a Bible and go through the entire Roman road. All you need to do is just say, God loves you. He's got a plan for you. Be encouraged. Because God will do the rest. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you, Father, that you are coming back soon. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege and the opportunity to be able to worship and to learn. And I pray, God, that over these next several weeks, as we continue to look at this together, Father, may you open up our hearts and our minds to be able to see and to understand things like never before. Father, I pray we will, without any hesitation, embrace all it is you're doing. It's not about astrology. It's not about those things. Those are the perverted things. They do not in any way diminish the power of who you are. They don't in any way detract from what it is that you want to do by showing us these signs. And so, Father, we want to look at them. We want to look for them, all in anticipation of your return. We thank you for that, and I just pray blessing over each and every person here. Keep them safe everywhere they go this week. Father, again, we lift all of those that we prayed for today, and we just give you all the glory and all the majesty, all the power, because only you are worthy. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things together. Amen.